In Acts chapter 20 and verse 20, we find that Paul writes to the Ephesians that he is taught with or taught to many, many times. And he says, I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. We're going to consider the whole counsel of God this evening, considering the fact that God's word is to be read and studied and to be applied, not just in the parts that we like and not just in the pieces and parcels that are convenient and that are easy to listen to, but each and everything. We're going to consider the importance of teaching all of the truths in God's word, the importance of correction and teaching, and the importance of accepting correction. Sometimes hearing and accepting parts of God's word is rather difficult. It may be because we don't understand it or because we don't like what it teaches. So let's put feelings of hostility towards those topics aside and study with an open heart the whole counsel of God. First, considering the fact that we as teachers and preachers have a duty to teach the word of God. To teach the word of God, not only those parts that are easy, not only those parts that are fun to teach, but each and every part. You know, whenever we get together a lesson, often what we do is we say, okay, I'm going to teach on something that, especially when we're starting out, we say, I'm going to teach on something that I really enjoy. And so when we're starting out, maybe we pick a pet topic that we hit on time after time. And sometimes preachers stick on these pet topics throughout the entirety of their career. And sometimes congregational teachers have found their niche in the things that they enjoy. And so they'll teach on those things. There are some preachers that are better at telling stories. There are some preachers and teachers that are better at expository studies. There are some teachers and preachers that are better at bringing out passages that help us to understand some very complicated parts of the scriptures. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But we also must realize that there are passages throughout the scripture that are not easy and, dare I say, fun to preach on. You know, what we do is we say, I enjoy this topic, and so I'm going to teach on it. Or we study through an entire book, and whenever we come to a passage, especially as we're doing expository studies throughout a chapter or throughout a book, we say, well, you know, there's a lot in here, and so we'll just kind of glaze over some of these things. When I was in college, I had a professor that we were going through the New Testament. I took a New Testament literature class, and he came to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And we glazed through the majority of Acts chapter 2, and we actually dove into a lot of the details of that chapter. But when we came to verses 36 through 42, he said, well, this isn't really worth your time. It's not applicable to us, so it doesn't matter. And I raised my hand and I said, what? And we discussed it. Afterward, him and I discussed it. But sometimes what we do as teachers and preachers is do the exact same thing. We say, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about things that are going to make people uncomfortable. I don't want to talk about things that are not applicable to us, or dare I say, that I don't want to talk about things that are making me uncomfortable. You know, as a preacher, it's not easy and it's not fun to get up and talk about homosexuality or to talk about modesty or hair or the roles of individuals in the church and in the home. It's not easy, and it's not always as simple as getting up and talking about baptism or faith or about worship or some of those things. And so we pick and we choose those things that we want to talk about. So we have a responsibility, just as Paul saw that he had a responsibility, to teach and to preach the whole counsel, all of the word of God, all of those parts and parcels that even are difficult. So what is this whole counsel? We see in Colossians 1 and verse 28, Christ whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Paul says, I have a responsibility to teach you all of those things. I have a responsibility to remind you of those things and to inform you, even if it's not simple. We must warn people that are in sin and warn whenever sin is in the camp. In Ezekiel 3 and verse 18, when I said unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou gavest him not warning, nor speaketh to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, and his blood will I require at thy hand. You know, sometimes what's easy to do is we get up in front of the congregation, and maybe we see someone's come in last minute that we know is guilty of a certain sin. Or maybe we see someone coming in the door that's guilty of a certain sin that we say, well, you know, they don't agree with me on this, so I just won't teach it. Or do we go to a congregation and we think, well, after having taught there for weeks or months, or maybe going for recurring meetings after a number of years, we still say, I don't really want to teach on that because it just gets muddy. Paul never saw things that way. There is a time and there is a place, but he also recognized there is a time. You can't push off the truth till it's simply convenient. So how do we teach the Word of God? Unfortunately, what we do is we take the Word of God and we're gung-ho to go out and teach everything that's in there. We're willing to stand up and teach on any topic. But what we do is we do it out of hatred, even. Or maybe we just simply do it out of irritation. We see the word to use the scripture, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. We're to teach with courage, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2 through 4, when it's in season and out of season, when it's convenient and even when it's inconvenient, to teach the truth. But we're also to teach the truth in love in Ephesians 4 and verse 15. This means that we recognize while those folks may be in sin, maybe they don't know better. Maybe they don't know better. And just as much, they have a soul just as much as I have a soul. And if our drive to go out and preach the gospel is not because we want to win every soul that's out there on the streets, because we want to recognize that every single person we meet, godly and ungodly, has a soul, maybe we need to reevaluate. We must be willing to turn the world upside down with preaching and teaching, as we see that Paul was in Acts 17 and verse 6, and we must teach with conviction. Titus 2 and verse 15, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So as we consider the fact that we as preachers, as teachers, have a responsibility to go out to preach the gospel, or within our own congregations to teach and preach those things that even may be inconvenient. Now, don't misunderstand me and make me say as a brand new congregational teacher needs to get up and teach on the most difficult concepts that are throughout the scriptures. All the way through the scriptures, we see that we as teachers and preachers and Christians grow and develop. And sometimes some are more efficient and some are more capable of teaching certain topics than others. But a component of teaching is correction. I don't know where along the way Christianity, as I guess Austin would say, Christianity came along, and all of a sudden Jesus is some almost hippie. You know, he goes along and he loves everybody and he wants to give everybody a hug and he never says anything mean to anybody because he's Jesus. He's the Son of God. And because he's Jesus, he would never say anything ill to anyone, and he would never say anything that would certainly hurt their feelings. I don't know where that came along. I really don't. But it's crept into the church, this idea that we as Christians, yes, we love each other. And because we love each other, we're not going to say anything mean to each other. While that may be the case, that doesn't excuse us from a responsibility of teaching correction. We as parents recognize that. You know, I have two children at home. Well, here. I have two children. And sometimes we have to discipline them. And it's not always fun. Sometimes they do something that's even funny, and it's difficult to discipline them. But you recognize that part of your responsibilities as a parent is to correct. And we as teachers, preachers, and Christians need to recognize that correction is a part of God's word. As we saw there, or as we see in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. If you've never studied all four of those terms of doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction, do that. It's a worthy study. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Is correction really needed, though? Sometimes it's easy, especially if you teach on a regular basis, to get into a rut of the topics and the types of things that you teach, or that we as students of the Bible go through when we pick and choose the things we're going to study. And whenever we come to a topic or to a passage that is difficult for us, we say, maybe later. It's easy to do that. But is correction really needed? Or should we allow issues to happen in our congregations, in our homes, in our families, and in our own lives unchecked? Jesus wouldn't. These same folks that claim that Jesus was some lovey-dovey, all caring, all hugging, unwilling to say anything mean to anyone or say anything that might hurt someone's feelings, said words like this: "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures." That sounds pretty strong and stern to me. It sounds like Jesus had a pure point of saying, yes, I'm here to remind people that we must come to God, and that my blood that is shed for you can save your souls, but you all have got to change. Stephen, just before he was stoned, stood up and he preached to these folks saying, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. Peter, of course, says in Acts chapter 2, said to all of these people, saying that you slew and hanged Jesus on a tree. And we saw there in our reading in Acts chapter 17 that Paul was willing to teach any and everything that needed to be taught. So how do we receive correction? You know, sometimes what we do is we hear a preacher, or we hear that a preacher is coming, or we hear that a teacher is on the schedule, and we say, I don't want to listen to them. They're always stepping on my toes. And so we uninvite them, or we tell them they're not allowed to teach anymore, or we just don't come whenever they teach. Do we receive correction well? In 2 Chronicles 6, 18, verse 6 and 7, we see that Jehoshaphat was reminded that he must change. Not receiving correction well. Do we refuse to hear certain preachers because they've stood for something the Bible teaches but we don't accept? If they have book, chapter, and verse that comes from the Bible that reminds us this is God's word and this is applicable to us and this is true and this is sincere and this is from God's word, why do we refute it? Why do we refuse it? Galatians 4 and verse 16, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Chastisement's difficult at first. And while it may be difficult at first, we eventually appreciate it. Whenever you were a kid and your parents perhaps disciplined you in whatever way they did so, whether they grounded you or gave you a spanking or they put you in timeout or whatever the case may be, or if they ridiculed you in some way saying you can't do that anymore, when they first said it, you probably thought, what? I don't want to hear that. You probably had an attitude that maybe if they hadn't, say, beat it out of you, if they hadn't corrected you along the way to respect the fact that they know better than you, you perhaps were upset with them. But as you get older in life, you realize that was for the good. And I'm a better person because of it. Do we do the same whenever we hear God's word? Whenever someone stands up and teaches God's word that convicts us and reminds us, wait, I may be wrong. How do we receive that? God throughout the scriptures, especially throughout Proverbs, we find says, open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Proverbs 27, verse 5 and 6. Considering these things, how do we receive? How do we give? And how do we understand correction?